Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's up, Raider Nation? Matt Holder with Silver and Black Pride here. The Raiders are back on the road this week to take on the Tennessee Titans. So for our Behind Enemy Lines podcast this week, please welcome Jimmy Morris from Music City Miracles, SB Nation's site that covers the Titans. Jimmy, thanks for coming on, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Jimmy, I always start these out just by talking about the team in general. Monday Night Football wasn't too kind to the Titans the other night. So I'm just curious, how are you feeling about the team? What are the expectations moving forward?
Well, listen, they obviously it has not started the way that we hoped it would start. You know, not surprised that we went to Buffalo and lost, right? I mean, they're really good. I mean, I think they're probably the best team in the AFC. I mean, right now, especially. Tough place to play, all that stuff. Going up there and getting boat raced was not what we expected. And the Titans beat the Bills last year on Monday Night Football. That game was in Nashville. But, you know, the Titans have been a team that has traditionally been able to keep those types of games close. They've actually thrived in those types of games under Mike Vrabel, where they're pretty significant underdogs, a game that people nobody expects them to win. They've done well in those games. Last night, it just kind of – the wheels kind of came off in the very beginning. Taylor Lewan gets hurt in the first play of the game, Titans left tackle. The offensive line's not really that good anyway, but then when he goes out, it's especially not good. So you had that. They lost Harold Landry, their outside linebacker, edge rusher, the week before the season started to an ACL injury in practice. A guy they paid this offseason was a really big part of their defense. I mean, not only being able to get after the passer like he does, but I mean, he stayed on the field. He played like 75-80% of the snaps last year. Good against the run, all that kind of stuff too. So lost him, but hey, still got Bud Dupree, who is a really good player, you know, a year now removed from an ACL injury that he was kind of coming back from last year. Got Jeffrey Simmons, who, I mean, I think he's the second or third best defensive tackle in the game. Got Danico Autry. And they've got guys that can bring pressure. Now, Bud Dupree gets hurt in the first series last night as well. So it just kind of – everything just kind of went downhill. And when you can't pressure Josh Allen, things are bad. The Titans' best corner didn't play last night with a hamstring injury. So just kind of – it was just kind of a culmination of all those types of things. So, you know, not to make excuses. I mean, you still – the offense was still pretty much together. Like I said, minus LeJuan, couldn't get anything going on offense, couldn't generate any type of run game, pass game, any of that kind of stuff. And so, I mean, there's concerns with this team. I mean, you know, they traded A.J. Brown on draft night and drafted Traylon Burks, who's been fine, but lost the guy that was the guy that they could go to make plays when teams were stopping Derrick Henry. So traded him away that night. And so now you don't have that guy in the offense. And so we've got a bunch of questions about what this team's going to be able to do offensively if they can't get Derrick Henry going. And there's questions about Derrick Henry, you know, not only with the questions about the line, but Derrick Henry missed the majority of the year last year with a broken foot. Derrick Henry is getting to that age for running backs where they typically fall off. Now, Derrick Henry is, I mean, you look at the dude, he's a different breed than your typical running back. But still, I mean, history tells us that he is at that point where it's going to be going downhill for him. He hasn't been effective in these first two games. It's hard to say how much of that's the line, how much of that's him. He's traditionally been a slow starter. I mean, his yards per carry in September is the lowest of any month throughout his career for a month. And I think it's just a matter of he's in such good shape. He's such a big guy that as defenses wear down, as defensive players wear down, you know, just the nicks and bruises as you get throughout a season, he gets stronger, and then, you know, guys don't want to tackle him when they see him coming, especially smaller guys in the secondary and that kind of stuff. So, you know, so, I mean, we don't know how that's going to play out down the road if we're going to see a similar type thing. But right now, a lot of questions with this team and a lot of things that those of us who follow the team closely and felt like, okay, the national media is maybe making too much of these losses. Right now, those people seem to be spot on, and we're still left asking a bunch of questions. So, I mean, obviously, you can't feel great about where the team is right now. Now, the saving grace here is that they play in the AFC South, which I think is unquestionably the worst division in football. So, I mean, I think they still have a good shot to win the division just because nobody else in the division is any good. So there is that. I mean, if they were looking like they're looking in y'all's division in the AFC West, I mean, I would say it's, you know, go ahead and start doing draft coverage, right? Because I mean, you're not digging out of a hole like that when those teams are that good. But that's not the case for the Titans. The team that everybody, you know, thought was going to be their number one competition in the division, the Colts, have looked just as bad as the Titans. So you know, there's still that kind of lurking out there, but a lot of question marks before we get to the point to where we can actually start talking about what happens down the road.
Well, as someone who covers an 0-2 team in the AFC West, so I will I'll have to push back a little bit. I think people get a little bit mad if I start covering the draft already in September.
Well,
but
I'm just saying, like, as bad as the Titans have looked at 0-2, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, there's not all 0-2s are created equal. As bad as they've looked in losing a game to the Giants, who are a bad team, and then, you know, being terrible last night.
No, absolutely. I 100% get where you're coming from. I'm sitting here with the Raiders being 0-2, looking up at the Chiefs still at 2-0, and the Chargers who they lost to, thinking could be a long year, but obviously got 15 more games to play, but definitely. Well, I want to move on and start off talking about Ryan Tannehill, because obviously the quarterback got to start there. And Tannehill's had plenty of strong years in Nashville, where he's basically revived his career. But the last few years, it feels like it's kind of been maybe a little bit on the decline. I'm curious, what's your assessment of Tannehill so far?
Yeah, so Tannehill, when he, you know, they traded for him. I think it was they sent a fourth round pick to the Dolphins for him. Dolphins basically paid his salary, what they still owed him. So it was a really good deal for John Robinson. He was brought in to back up Marcus Mariota. And you know, things, the wheels kind of came off on Mariota in that first season. And so, Tannehill was here for a whole year as the backup. And then, I think it was six games in, second season, he takes over, Ryan Tannehill does, and is really, really good. So this is 3 years ago, the Titans end up going to the AFC Championship game, losing to the Chiefs. And then the next year comes back, really efficient, has a great year, you know, takes care of the football, is really good in the play action game. Obviously, you know, having Derrick Henry back there helps with all of that. Was really, really good in that season. Now, in that Chiefs game, in the AFC Championship game in 2019, the Chiefs bottled up Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry couldn't get going in that game, and Tannehill couldn't do enough to, you know, put the team on his back and win that game. All right. Fast forward to the next year, Titans in the AFC South, host a playoff game against the Ravens. Same kind of deal. Ravens come in here, bottle up Derrick Henry. Tannehill can't put the team on his back and kind of get him over that hump, right? Then last year, you have Derrick Henry getting hurt. Oh, so you lose Arthur Smith, who was the Titans' offensive coordinator, who's now the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. You bring in Todd Downing, who, I mean, Raiders fans are familiar with. He's terrible. I don't understand why
very
they
much,
promoted him.
Very
I don't
much.
Understand why they retained him. That's a whole other thing. But and then everybody gets hurt. Right. So the Titans trade for Julio Jones in that offseason. We're all excited about that. Julio is broken down at this point. I mean, I'm an Alabama fan, love Julio Jones. He's like the, you know, of this right. era of Alabama football, he was the first guy, you know, the first offensive guy, especially. But he's done. He's broken down at this point. The legs just aren't there. With it, bring him in, got AJ Brown, got Derrick Henry. We're all excited, right? It's going to be great. Well, Julio can't stay on the field. AJ ends up getting hurt. And so does Derrick Henry, right? So,
right.
So Tannehill struggled last year, but you give him a little bit of a pass, right, with all that happening.
Sure.
You know, with not that you think the offense is going to run for Derrick Henry, or Derrick Henry's not there. You think you've got these two dynamic receivers on the outside. They're in and out of the lineup. They may have played in like two or three games together, okay? So, you know, all those things, you kind of give him a little bit of a pass there. Get in the playoffs. Again, Derrick Henry comes back for that game. So this is the first the playoff game last year against the Bengals. Titans are the one seed, get the bye. Playoff game against the Bengals. Everybody's healthy and on the field. Julio's out there, AJ's out there, Derrick Henry's back. It all set up for what they had planned from the beginning. They hadn't come together yet. It all sets up for this playoff game, and then Ryan Tannehill is terrible. Throws an interception on his first. He throws an interception on the first play of the game. was intercepted in the last play of the game, or the last Titans offensive play of the game, and then it has another pick in between there. And honestly, like, I mean, the Titans sacked Joe Burrow 9 times that game. If Ryan Tannehill throws 2 interceptions to the 3, the Titans win. Titans could have won the Super Bowl last year if Ryan Tannehill was just serviceable. I mean, they were really that good. If everybody stayed healthy, all that kind of stuff. So all that to say, he's been good for the most part, but he hasn't been a guy that can really take the team, you know, put the team on its back at times when Derrick Henry is not effective. And we're seeing – I mean, listen, last night he threw 2 picks in the second half. He should have thrown another pick earlier in the game that a guy dropped. And he's just – he's gotten in the habit of just – he has these lapses where he just doesn't see a defender and throws it right to a guy.
Gotcha.
That's been a thing that for the first year and a half as a starter here, he wasn't doing that. But the last 2 years – last year and then in a couple games this year, I mean, he just has gotten a tendency of doing that. So he's their quarterback this year. But I think that this is probably his last year here with the Titans.
So you kind of, I think you kind of answered my next question a little bit, which was going to be about Malik Willis. Obviously they drafted him in the 3rd round, backup for this year. So are you saying that maybe next year is probably the ideal circumstance for Malik Willis to take over, or maybe could we even see that even sooner?
No, I think they would love for Tannehill to be, you know, good this year. Willis to spend a year learning behind him, and then for him to them to feel confident enough to move on from Ryan Tannehill after this season. I think that's what they would love to happen. I don't think we see Malik Willis this year unless, well, I mean, obviously if Tannehill gets hurt, or unless it could just get so bad that they're out of it and they want to get him some playing time. We saw it in the preseason. Malik Willis got three preseason games, he probably played, so that's what, 12 quarters? I mean, he probably played 10 of 12 quarters in the preseason. So we saw a lot of him. And he got a lot better from week 1 to week 3. I mean, you could see some big deficiencies in his game in week 1. He cleaned a lot of that stuff in week 3. Still a lot of stuff he needs to work on. You know, just typical stuff from a guy that hasn't been a pro-style offense, all those types of things. So I think – I feel good about him having a chance to be good. He's obviously coachable because, like I said, you just saw things that he was doing wrong in that first game that he didn't do wrong again in that 3rd game. So feel good about where he is as far as all that's concerned. But, yeah, ideally he doesn't see the field until next year.
Gotcha. So diving into the Titans' weapons, I want to start with the rookie that you brought up, Treylon Burks. How has he looked so far, and has his route tree expanded? Because I know that was one of the issues with him at Arkansas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I mean, he's been pretty good. He's kind of in an impossible situation with the fan base here because he's the guy that's replacing AJ Brown. That's not fair to him. But I mean, you know, within a span of 5 minutes on draft night, they traded AJ Brown, they drafted Treylon Burks. So, that's a tough spot for him. But he's been good. He had the conditioning stuff in OTAs. Where he came in and he was out of shape, but he showed up for training camp in shape. It's been fairly healthy for training camp. And when they've targeted him in games so far, it's gone well. I mean, he had 3 or 4 catches last night, had 2 or 3 catches in the first game, catches that were contested. I mean, that kind of stuff. Like he's a big physical guy. He's not a burner. He's not going to get a lot of separation, but he doesn't need a lot of separation. He's kind of one of those guys. So, I think they're happy with where he is. There's still some things he needs to work on in his game. And again, like he missed time in those OTAs because of the conditioning stuff And so I think he missed some valuable work that he could have gotten in that time. So, I mean, I think there's still some things that he needs to refine. And, yeah, route tree and that kind of stuff. But, man, I mean, the offense was so bad last night. Like, everything was just so bad that it's hard to see really where anybody is. But I think overall they're pretty pleased with what they've gotten from him so far. They need to give him more. And again, like, we have issues with Todd Downing's packages and guys he puts on the field. And I mean, it's all kind of a mess. But, you know, he played more snaps in this game last night than he did in week one. So hopefully that'll keep trending in that direction, because he needs to be – I mean, Robert Woods should be their number one, but Treylon Burks should unquestionably be their number two.
I got to say, Jimmy, I don't wish you any pain, but it is nice to hear somebody else be complaining about Todd Downing and his play calling for a change. So as you mentioned, we suffered through that for a season over here in silver and black. So,
I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable. And like, he's so bad. And I just don't understand. I mean, I guess it's a deal where Vrabel likes him and wants to, like, keep him around, give him a chance or whatever. But he was bad last year. And I mean, I don't want to – you hate to call for somebody's head after two games, and we weren't. But, like, so that's what everybody – like, some people will be like, well, it's only two games. It's not two games. It's all of last season.
Yeah.
Plus the first two games of this year. You know, so anyway. Yeah, like I said, y'all are familiar with it, if anybody is. So.
Exactly. I want to pivot back a little bit to the wide receivers. Robert Woods is another new face that you brought up as potentially being the number one receiver out in Tennessee. So what do you think he adds to the Titans offense?
Well, I mean, he's a guy that can move all over the formation. You know, the Rams would line him on the backfield, hand him the ball. The Titans did that once in the Giants game. A guy that just knows how to get open, knows how to run routes, understands defenses. The Titans love a receiver that can block. I mean, it's crazy through all the different regimes that have been here. They all, like, one of the first things they talk about in receivers is how will they block, which I don't – I mean, like, that shouldn't be the top of the list. Anyway. Yeah. But, I mean, he does all that in the run game. You understand why you need that with an offensive run, Derrick Henry, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, he's coming off an ACL injury himself and fully participated in training camp, had no limitations, has been out there. I think he was only targeted twice in the first game and maybe two or three times last night. And then he had a big play on a screen pass that ended up getting called back for a Ben Jones face mask. But has looked good when they've been able to give him the ball. They just haven't really got him the ball. And again, I think that's more of a scheme issue than a Robert Woods issue. But you know, it's hard to tell at this point, really. But I feel good about where he is if they can kind of get the offense moving.
We have to talk about the king, Derrick Henry. Already talked about him a little bit because we can't talk about the Titans without talking about him. And I think everyone knows how dominant and how hard he can be to stop. So, but I'm curious if there's any sort of chink in the armor. How have teams bottled him up or kind of kept him at bay in the past?
Well, again, you throw a nine-man box up there, and most of the time you would pivot away from the run. Titans don't do that too much. So, I mean, that's been the thing. And, like, again, it's hard to say this year if he is different or if they just haven't been able to get him going yet.
Gotcha.
You know, he's a guy that it takes him a minute to get to full speed, but once he gets to full speed, I mean, he's just a monster because he's so big. He's so fast. He has a stiff arm. You know, you see all the highlights from. So that's the thing. They've got to figure out ways to get him going. He needs a hole. I mean, the game against the Giants, I think he was, I can't remember which side it was, but does the, like, expected yards per run play or whatever. And I think Henry was the worst, or he was the worst or second worst in week one as far as, like, leaving yards on the field, which is usually the exact opposite with him. Like, usually he's creating yards from things that aren't there. But, again, I don't know how much of that is just rust, you know, because he played in the playoff game last year. He didn't play in the preseason at all this year. Didn't do a whole lot in training camp, which, I mean, is understandable. But so I don't know how much of that is him working the rust off, how much of that is him being slowed down, offensive line, I mean, all those things. So, you know, there was no reason really to believe last year before he got hurt that he was in his decline, but it's hard to say where he is on that curve now, since we haven't seen much of him over the past, you know, almost 12 months at this point.
Gotcha. You mentioned Taylor Lewan's injury. And I know as of Tuesday night, the recording of this podcast, I don't believe we've had any sort of status updates, but obviously he left after one play, didn't look good, kind of hobbled off. if he isn't able to play on Sunday, who fills in for Titans at left tackle, and what are they kind of going to be missing on the offensive line?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the biggest problem that the Titans have on the offensive line right now is the fact that they have invested so much in the offensive tackle position and have gotten so little from it. So, I guess 3 years ago at this point, three drafts ago, they drafted Isaiah Wilson out of Georgia in the first round. He's supposed to be your offensive tackle. Yeah, he's goes crazy. That's a tough one. I don't know what all went there, but I mean, he played a handful of special team snaps for this team, and then you know ends up getting I guess they traded him, traded in the offseason. And then goes to the Dolphins cutting, whatever. They follow up with Dylan Raidens in the second round, in the next draft. And he, just for whatever reason, they can't get him on the field. He played okay. He had to fill in for LaJuan in a game last year. It was a Thursday night game against the 49ers. And so you're like, that's a tough assignment, right? Drawing, Bosa. And he did well. Like, he played pretty well playing left tackle. But for whatever reason, the right tackle job was his to win in training camp this year, and he didn't win it. It ended up going to Nicholas Petit-Frere, who was a third-round pick out of Ohio State in this draft this year. So now I think they're trying him at guard. It's been a disaster trying to find a right tackle, okay? Well, now you got to find a left tackle. Dennis Daly is the guy that played there last night when LaJuan got hurt. He did fine, but a guy that they acquired in a trade from the Panthers right at the end of training camp. The Panthers were probably going to cut him. I think the Titans just kind of jumped the gun there to get him here. I mean, like I said, he's fine, but he's not great by any means, and it's just kind of more question marks for an offensive line that has a lot of question marks. And again, when you're a team that's predicated on running the football, controlling the clock, and you've got all those question marks up front, it's just not good. LaJuan has been really good for this team. Now, he tore his ACL 2 years ago and was kind of in and out of the lineup last year. I know he missed either two or three games and maybe missed part of another one. I think part of it's just not trusting the knee after the injury. And then part of it is right that he just wasn't, all the way back at this point. So, I don't know. There was kind of a conflicting report tonight. There was a report that he might miss the rest of the season. But then the guy who reported that kind of came back and said, well, they're not really sure yet on that. So I think it's safe to say he doesn't play this week, but I don't know what the prognosis is for him going forward.
So if you've got Petit-Frere, and then, sorry, who'd you say was the guy filling in for LaJuan?
Dennis Daly is who played there Monday night. And I guess he will. I guess he'll be the guy that plays if LaJuan can't go.
Gotcha. So if it's those two versus Max Crosby and Chandler Jones, how are you feeling about that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, not great. I don't know. I don't know how you could, but I guess they'll have to try to figure something out to slow that down. But yeah. It, like I said, it's been rough, man. And I don't know. Yeah. So you would like to have a kind of a soft landing spot for these guys in there. Daly's third game with the Titans, Petit-Frere's third game, in the league, but that's then getting easier with who's coming in this week.
Yeah, for sure. Ben Jones is a guy that's been holding it down at center for a while now. Can you say, or what would you say he brings to the Titans offense as far as, leadership and that kind of standpoint and on the field?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's just a nasty dude. Like, what nice. You want an offensive lineman to be. He's been here for a long time, has been the leader of this offensive line for a long time. All the guys look up to him. The Titans made a point to bring him back this year. Again, a guy that is probably at the end of his career, right? I mean, he has this year, and I don't know if he'll play next year or not. We'll have to wait and see. But a guy that has been just really solid for them. And they had – I mean, it's just funny. Going all the way back to when Jeff Fisher was the head coach here and Mike Munchak was the offensive line coach, I mean, the Titans could pull anybody in and make them an interior offensive lineman. I mean, they had such a run of success with guys that were – 6th, 7th round draft pick, undrafted free agents, guys they came in, developed into good players, and those guys, ended up going and signing big contracts elsewhere, and the Titans could just pull up another guy and replace him. That they've had so much trouble with that since Mike Munchak. Munchak was the head coach for a couple of years and then, left after when he was fired. And so they just haven't been able to draft and develop guys. But they signed Ben Jones as a free agent from the Texans, and he's been really good for them and has really been the one constant in this offensive line for the time that he's been here. So, yeah, he's a really important piece of what they do.
Moving on to the defense, Jeffrey Simmons has become a beast at defensive tackle over the last couple of years. Can you give us a brief breakdown of what he brings to the table?
Yeah, so, I mean, he is a guy that they got he was a steal, or they got him in the draft, had the ACL injury when he was training, getting ready for that draft, and then he had the incident while he was in college. A guy that fell down draft boards, but has been a steal for them. And he just has that rare combination of that power-speed combo, a guy that's just a really long guy. And one of those guys that you see, when you see him, he doesn't look like a defensive tackle because he's just so, like, long and like, big. And so he doesn't look like the typically what you think of when you see a defensive tackle. But just a guy that can wreck a game from the inside, and the thing that he was able to do last year was, defenses or offenses weren't able to focus on him as much because you had guys coming off the edge that were good players that had focused on. Titans also signed DeNico Autry last offseason, and he came in, made a big impact. So just a bunch of different things that offenses had to focus on and couldn't focus as much on taking Jeffrey Simmons away. I'm a little bit concerned about how that's going to look now with Landry out, with Dupree. We're not sure what his status is going to be this week. But yeah, he's just a guy that is one of those high motor guys that's getting after it every single play and has the athleticism to, use a variety of moves. He's not like a one trick pony. He can do a bunch of different stuff to collapse the pocket. Good in run support as well. So just a really good player. Like I said, he's the second or third best defensive tackle in the league. I mean, you'd be crazy to put him ahead of Aaron Donald, obviously. But, I mean, he's definitely in that next group.
So I'm kind of curious, is he starting to get that Aaron Donald treatment where he's getting, double team after double team after double team?
Yeah, he is. And so that's what so 2 years ago when they had Harold Landry and nobody else, they double teamed every time. And so early in the year, he had success because teams hadn't figured out how good he was yet. Gotcha. But once that became apparent, then they started doing that, and it kind of took him away. Well, last year, like I said, teams weren't able to do that as much because the Titans had so many different things they could do on defense. And so that's when he really came on. I mean, he had 2.5-3 sacks in that game against the Bengals. That's how you've got to – if you're going to disrupt a passing game in today's NFL, you have to do it from, collapsing the pocket. And he's just so good at doing that. And so that's why he's been so valuable to this team.
Gotcha. So you bring up Bud Dupree's injury, and I think it sounds like he's kind of in question. I don't know. Have you guys gotten an update on his status? I know it was just, a night ago or anything, but is he looking like he might play?
We don't have any idea. He didn't come back last night. Mike Vrabel did say today that they don't expect it to be a long-term thing. Gotcha. And that's more than you usually get from Vrabel. But that means it sounds to me like he's probably not going to IR. But I don't think that we really have any idea of what he's going to be able to do this week.
Gotcha. For a minute, let's pretend like he's not going to play. Obviously, missing Bud Dupree and Harold Landry is a pretty big loss. So who kind of is going to be that next guy up? You brought up another former Raider in DeNico Autry. Is he kind of the next edge rusher in line?
Yeah, so he has he's been really good for this team. And he has done some edge stuff, has done some stuff where he lines up, like DN, D tackle. He's been pretty versatile for them, but yeah, they'll have to use him more off of the edge if Dupree can't go. They've got a second year guy in Rashad Weaver who missed most of the year last year with a broken leg, but he's been good. He was good for them in the preseason. I think they were really excited about where he was last year before he got hurt. So he's been a guy that has been able to help. And then they've got like the next guy is Ola Adeniye, who is, really a special teams ace, but has been able to give him a little something in the pass rush. So he got banged up for a minute in the game last night as well, but he ended up coming back. So I think he's fine. But and then after that, it's just kind of mix and match. I mean, they don't have a lot of depth there. I mean, like I said, I think they felt like they did coming in. But, yeah. Once all these guys get hurt, it's hard to be that deep.
Yeah, it's – It's funny. It's like, I feel like depth is kind of like that old Mike Tyson quote where it's like, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. Everyone has depth till you get two injuries to you, two edge rushers. And by week two.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
At linebacker, Zach Cunningham was a late season pickup after things didn't work out in Houston last season. So what do you anticipate he's going to bring to Tennessee's defense?
Well, you know, that they brought him in last year. A guy that is familiar with Vrabel. Vrabel's with him and with the Texans before Vrabel came here. And he was really good when they brought him in last year. He has not been good in the first two games this year. I don't know what the problem is there. But just, you know, has missed some tackles and just seemed to be – there were a couple times last night where it just really looked like he was out of place when he dropped back in zone coverage. So, but last year he was really good and was a big find for this team because he gave them just another guy that could help stop the run. They had Rashad Weaver, who is now with the Falcons, who was a first-round pick the same year Harold Landry came out, who they thought was going to be their guy that they were going to have there for a long time, who just ended up not being very good. And so Cunningham really filled a big need that they had last year. And so, like I said, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I think sometimes guys just kind of get in a funk, and he just appears to be there right now. But I anticipate him being good, but he hasn't been so far this year.
So I'll be honest, I don't know much about the rest of the Titans linebackers. So can you enlighten me? Is there anyone else that that Raider fans should know about?
Well, the other guy is David Long Jr., who was a good find for them. The Titans, as much as they've struggled with early round draft picks, they've been really good on like day three. Long's a guy that they cover a little bit and can stop the run as well. So he's the other guy that'll be on the field in those 3-4 sets. And he's a pretty good player.
One of my draft crushes over the past year was Roger McCreary. Can you give us, or just, I guess, mainly just me, an update on how he's doing? I saw he was starting, so I feel like that's got to be a good sign.
Yeah, so, I mean, they are really encouraged by him. A guy that was a big surprise to a lot of us when they took him in the second round because, you know, they took a first-round corner in Caleb Farley the year before, who, you know, that hasn't panned out so well so far, but it's early. But they, you know, he's been really good. And I think eventually the idea is that he'll be their slot corner. He has played outside mainly on early downs. At least this is what he did when Christian Fulton was healthy and playing. Gotcha. So in week one, and Vrabel said basically that was because they just didn't want to give him too much too soon. There's just, you know, a lot of responsibility for a slot corner on early downs. You got run fits and all that kind of stuff. And so they were letting him play outside on early downs and then moved him inside third down, passing downs, that type of stuff. But yeah, he's been really good. I mean, he was one of the guys that everybody raved about all throughout training camp. You know, and a guy that I guess fell in the draft because his arms are not long enough, you know, but when you watch his tape of what he was able to do going up against, you know, the SEC has some pretty good receivers and he was good against all those guys. So, a guy that I think they felt like they got really good value. And yeah, he's been good for them early on.
Yeah, he was a guy kind of going on a little bit of a tangent here when, like I said, I loved his film. And when I saw he had short arm measurements, I was completely shocked by just because he used them so well to get pass breakups. Like there were plays where he'd, you know, be on the opposite side, getting, knocking the ball down. I was very shocked to see him have those short arms. But like you said, I feel like he uses them well and knows how to maneuver his body, which is, in my opinion, a little bit more important at corner.
Yeah, like I said, they've been he's been one of the guys that has really popped off as far as, you know, training camp, preseason, all that kind of stuff.
Definitely. One guy that I think is consistently underrated in the NFL is safety Kevin Byard. So I just want to give you the floor for a second and the opportunity to stand on a soapbox and let people know who Kevin Byard is.
Yeah, so again, this is one of those things that, you know, early on, John Robinson, Titans GM, we didn't, you know a whole lot about him. And then he takes Kevin Byard in the third round, a guy that's from MTSU, which is local here in Middle Tennessee. Right. And we didn't know a whole lot about him, you know, just because he played at a small school. He had an interception in the game against Alabama, you know, played well that year. But, you know, and was a guy that a lot of people considered a reach at the time when they took him. But the Titans didn't have a fourth-round pick in that draft. And so I think it was kind of one of those deals where it was a guy John Robinson really liked, and it was like if he didn't take him there, he wasn't going to get him. So – he's been fantastic for this team. I mean, the guy that has been the leader of the defense pretty much the whole time he's been here, you know, has makes a lot of plays in the pass game, I mean, like, and just is a guy that is steady. He's there. He works. He's a good example to a guy like Roger McCreary, you know, young guys coming in that need to see, you know, how an NFL defensive back should carry himself. And Byard is great with all that. He's great in the community. I mean, just if you could pick a guy that you want to be the face of your franchise as much as a safety can. I mean, he's that guy. He's been just great for them and has done everything they've asked him to do. Great athlete. You know, there was a game, it was either 2 or 3 years ago when, so it was, I guess it was longer than that now. And Mariota was hurt. He was the starting quarterback at the time. They had Blaine Gabbert going against a good Houston Texans team. And there's just no way they were going to be able to generate offense in that game. And Byard was the up back on the punt team and threw a, they snapped him through an absolute dime to Dane Cruikshank. It was the, for the longest time until Tua did something last year, it was the longest pass by a left-handed quarter, like by a guy that threw it left-handed for like 2 or 3 years. It was the longest completion from a left-handed thrower, we'll say. So yeah, I mean, just a guy that can do everything that you ask him to do. And you know, it's just been, I mean, he's been probably the most consistent guy on this team for the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, just, you don't have to worry. He's there. You don't have to worry about it. He's going to be there. He's going to do what he's supposed to do, all that kind of stuff.
He's like, I'll call him the Booby Miles of the Titans, because it's a, and he can pass.
There you go.
So wrapping up here, it seems like the Titans secondary is pretty young, and then there's Byard and a couple good another good safety in Amani Hooker. And like I said, a couple of young guys, you mentioned Caleb Farley, Harold Landry, and then Christian Fulton is another young guy. So I'm curious, how do you think they'll stack up against the receiving core with Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, and Hunter Renfrow?
Well, I don't know if you saw last night, but Stephon Diggs had 12 catches for 100 and whatever yards and 3 touchdowns. You know as well as I do that so much of secondary play is predicated on how good the pass rush is, right? You know, guys can look like all pros when you have the guys that are wrecking stuff up front and then not as good from behind when that's not happening. Now, we'll see. Hopefully Christian Fulton can go because he's their best corner. And, I mean, he's not like one of the best corners in the league or anything, but he's the Titans' best corner. He's important. Gotcha. They had Caleb Farley out there, who, like I said, was the first-round pick 2 years ago, you know, had the back injuries coming out and then towards ACL last year. And he was terrible last night. I mean, they ended up benching him for, like, undrafted guys. I mean, this is not like they have a bunch of depth there either. So, you know, if Fulton can't go, then, I mean, it's a huge concern because, like I said, the Bills didn't have Gabriel Davis last night. And so you feel like that's at least a little bit. I mean, Titans didn't have Christian Fulton. So you're like, okay, but I mean, you know, they're missing a guy too. So maybe they could do some things, and it didn't pan out that way. So, I mean, definitely will be concerning with the weapons that the Raiders have if Fulton can't go. So, like I said, there's so many questions, and, you know, recording this on Tuesday night, we don't have a great idea of who's going to be available to play. So, you know, if Dupree's in, if Fulton's in, I mean, I'll feel a little bit better about where they are. But, you know, Fulton didn't practice at all last week. He's got a hamstring injury. I'd be surprised if he plays. But, again, that's a complete guess at this point. I mean, hopefully they get a couple of those guys back, because otherwise, I mean, it's going to be a tough task to match up with these guys.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, Jimmy. Why don't you go ahead and tell the good people of Raider Nation where they can find you?
Yeah, so MusicCityMiracles.com is the website. We will have a ton of coverage, obviously, leading up to this game. And I will be doing 5 questions later this week as well. I'm on Twitter at JMorrisMCM, and the Twitter for the site is at TitansMCM.
Awesome. Well, you guys know where to find me on Twitter, at MHolder95. Make sure you're following Silver and Black Pride, too. Rate, review, subscribe, and download wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, guys.